Thank you, Jan, and thank you, Kevin, for the great music. It's nice to have a new song. I liked that. Okay, so we have for our theme for the month of September under our values-based spiritual living, the title for September is The Heart of Service. Bless you all. And since today being the first Sunday in September, we celebrate Labor Day weekend, the Heart of Service seems to be quite appropriate because we're thinking about work. We're talking about work. This is significant for all of us because all of us have either worked or are working, or we've benefited from the work that other people have done. So we're all integrally related to the aspect of work and the benefits of both giving and receiving that in life. First of all, I want to say thank you to my ministerial colleague, Kathy Ann Lewis in Seattle, Washington, for some of her ideas that I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. She kind of organized them, and I like the way she'd done it, so I borrowed them from her. I'd like to give credit where it's due. So we know that in our New Thought teachings, both Unity and Science of Mind, that when we take in a new thought about something, a new idea, a new belief, it changes our experience. So that's what I want to do today. I want to give us some new thoughts about work and how it works in our life so that we can have a new experience of ourselves and of our contributions. So in our New Thought teaching, we're all about living abundantly, living successfully in our lives. And work is a very important part of that equation because our work is usually what contributes to our prosperity. So prosperity literally is defined as living freely. Living freely. Doesn't that feel good when you say you're prosperous? You're living freely. And from the Latin, prosperity means to go forward with joy. So living freely and going forward with joy are definitions of the word work. So we all want to do that, don't we? We all want to prosper. We all want to live freely and move forward in our lives with joy. And yet, when we think of work, which is the way most of us or most people in the world access their prosperity, we often don't have feelings of living freely or moving forward with joy in our work experience, unfortunately. Did you know that 9 o'clock on Monday mornings are the time when more people die? That's the one time of the week when more people die. It's pretty obvious that they don't want to go to work. It's related to work. Now, you and I may not feel that way, but there is a race consciousness belief about work that I'd like to dispel. I'd like to bring some unlimited ideas into that mindset. Because we've been raised in a culture that says that work is something to be avoided. And that's the prevalent thought about that. We call that the race consciousness. Race consciousness is that area of thinking that the human race engages in. And when we have a wide range of people all thinking the same thought, it's like contagious. So we have to be on guard. We have to be aware of those thoughts so that we can choose again. Because, you know, the greatest gift that we've ever been given is the power to choose. We get to choose what our experience will be. So if we're not aware that there are thoughts out there that might be affecting us, then we don't know that we need to choose again. So even if you were raised by very enlightened parents in a very enlightened household who valued their contributions and they didn't think that way, you're still inundated by the thoughts of people around you. You're inundated by the things you see on television, by your coworkers, by your neighbors, your teachers, your peers. Different people have this idea, this mindset about work. Now, we've all been trained about work. It's part of our cultural thinking. But did you know that in Peru, where the ancient Incas were, they didn't have that thought about work. They believed that work was sacred. That there were three blessings that we had in life. We had the blessing of learning, the blessing of loving, and the blessing of working. And that was their ethic. That was what they believed in, and they were very happy. Now, they were an agricultural people, so they were out in the dirt, And they felt like touching the dirt was touching nature, touching God. So work was a very sacred experience for them. And they would be out in the fields hoeing with the band over to the side playing, and they'd be singing and dancing out in the field while they hoed and had a great time with their work. That is until they were conquered by the Spanish. And the Spanish missionaries took it upon themselves to dispel them of this belief that work is good and teach them that they had to suffer, that work was about suffering. Because after all, that's what it says in Genesis chapter 3. It says, Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden and sent to work. So we've been carrying this old mythological mindset around us. This is one of those old cultural beliefs that we can thank our very traditional Christian ethics as perpetuating. We have this idea that work is something to be avoided instead of something to be celebrated, that it's a curse, it's a punishment inflicted upon humankind for something that we didn't even do. I mean, does that seem fair? So I know that we don't believe this. This is not our mindset. But like I said, people surrounding us do believe that. And maybe they don't believe it because the Bible tells them so, but it's just been absorbed from the culture. We're like sponges. We absorb a lot of things and they just become what is in us. So we are subject to what others around us think and believe. So it's good to be aware of this, to make our choices. Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, said that we should be porters or gatekeepers at the gateway of our mind and guard carefully the thoughts that we allow in. So that's our job, to be guards at the gateway of our mind and guard carefully the thoughts that we allow in. Now, there's a part of thinking that says you have to work to make a living. So think about it. There are people who believe that work is fun, work is a blessing, it's a chance to be close to God, and then there are people who think that work is a punishment, a punishment for something I didn't even do. So we have two mindsets about work. So we can see clearly here that it is a choice. You may have been in both of those mindsets at different times in your work experience. I know I have. I felt at times that this is the best thing ever. And then I felt other times, this is the hardest thing ever. So I got to choose. I get to choose which mindset I want to feed, which one I get to perpetuate. When I was teaching, I would have days that I was just so absolutely blissed out by the experience. And then I have other days when I'd come dragging in. And Marvin would say, those are the days you get paid for. The other days you just do for free. So there was always that choice in there. So I bring this up to let you know that our thought about our work is our attitude, and that's where it's all about me. It's all about me, it's all about you, and what we choose to think in our experience, how we choose to think about our participation in life with other human beings. That's what work is. It's participating with each other in life, and how do we think about it? The thought of work is absolutely neutral. Work is neutral. You get to put the meaning on it. You get to put the meaning on whether it's a blessing or whether it's a curse. You get to choose whether you're going to have a living free experience where you're joyfully moving forward or a terrible drudging experience that you hate every minute of. So I want to share with you three attitudes that I believe will make life more joyful around the ideas of work. These are things that I thought about when I'm most fluid and flowing in the work that I'm doing. When I'm joyful, I take on these attitudes rather than the others that are so easy to slip into. Okay, so the first attitude that I want to share with you is that work is an expression. It's an expression of the life that you are. It's an outflow. It's letting that life within you flow out into the world. We don't work to get a check. We don't work to get paid. We work to give of ourselves, to give of ourselves. And if you're working for a check, you're always going to be totally underpaid. Always. Because you deserve far more than that. You are priceless. You're absolutely priceless. But the gift that you give is the ability to be able to share who you are. So when we think about the amount that we get paid compared to others, we might think, wow, is that right? Think of the disparity between a professional athlete and a preschool teacher. there's quite a difference there, isn't there? Does that mean one is more valuable than the other? Certainly not. They're both giving what they have to give. Jesus said that the right hand shouldn't know what the left hand is doing. Now, the right hand is a symbol for giving, what you give in life. The left hand is a symbol for receiving. So we shouldn't tie together our giving and our receiving. They're not related. We give from our whole heart, and we know that we're going to be compensated if we're open to the divine compensation, which I'll get into in just a minute. So you bring the best you are to your job. You bring the very best that you are to every job that you do. It's not about I'm going to trade you my time for your money. That's not the idea at all. It's about I'm going to bring myself, my whole self, my 150% self to this experience, and I'm going to give and know that I will be abundantly supplied and provided for. The second attitude I'd like to share with you is that work is about your own growth and development. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, there are opportunities for you to grow and develop. So if we go into a job thinking, wow, this is wonderful, I get an opportunity to grow, to develop, to expand, and they're going to pay me for it too. Isn't that amazing? So if you see it as an opportunity for you, it has a different connotation than if you're just selling out to somebody else. You're expressing yourself. You would do it for free, but you're going to get paid for it. That's amazing. Or if you're a volunteer, you're doing this, you're expanding yourself, you're learning new talents, and you're going to get paid with the appreciation, the knowing that you're in the flow of life. You're contributing what you have and making things work better for the world as a whole. And the last thing I want to share, the last attitude I want to share, is that whatever skills and talents you have, the world has a need for those. So you're a match to the needs of the world. So if you think of that, instead of saying, oh, I need to find a job, no, that's not what you need to find. You need to find what you're a match to. Where is it in the world that's looking for your skills and talents? Where can you find that match? That's the place of divine joy, of seeing, I'm a match. I have these skills, and these people need what I offer. This is the same thing in love relationships. Some people think, I'm just looking for a romantic relationship. Well, what do you have to give to that romantic relationship? You have to find the match for what you're giving and what you're wanting so that there's a match. The same thing for if you're looking for a house to live in, an apartment to live in. You have to know that there's a house or an apartment that is looking for an owner just like you. Just like you. So all you want to do is know there's a match and you're looking to find it. You're open to find that match. So that's what you're doing. You're sharing your gifts and talents. You're looking for where in the world is looking for what you have to offer. So with that idea, there's a place where your gifts and talents are needed, where they're needed. And my suggestion is that you don't go out and quit your job on Tuesday thinking, oh, I can do something different than this. Wait and let yourself be lifted out of that job. This is how that works. If you go into a job dissatisfied, grumbling, thinking, I'm better than this, this is just what I'm doing till something better comes along, you're going in there with a negative attitude, and even if you change jobs, it's going to be the same thing in the next job. You're going to be dissatisfied with that one eventually too. So what I'm suggesting is that you go into it and let life lift you up. You do that by doing the very best job that you can. The very best job. You give of yourself completely, and the universe, God sees that. God is the great promoter. God will promote you to the next job. I had an example of this when I was thinking about this talk. When I was in Denver, Colorado, it was time to do a census. Now, I was really impressed with the U.S. Census. This is a big deal. You know, it happens every 10 years, and it goes down in the books, and people look back for generations at what happened at that point in time, and I wanted to be part of the U.S. Census. So I went out and applied for a job, and I was hired as an enumerator. That is a person who walks up and down streets and writes down house numbers. So I was hired at minimum wage as an enumerator, and I did that for weeks and weeks and weeks till my feet were really suffering. But I was so enthusiastic because I was excited that I was involved in the U.S. Census. This is important work. Well, evidently my enthusiasm, my joy for what I was doing was noted, and when my supervisor's supervisor left the position, I got promoted above to be my boss's boss. Now, it was due to nothing else, I'm sure, except for my extreme enthusiasm, my willingness to do 150% of the job, always being there, always excited, always doing my very best. So I went from walking the streets, writing down street numbers, to supervising 144 people from one day to the next. Marvin remembers that night because they gave me a training manual. It was time to train for the next phase and said, here's what you're going to teach tomorrow. And I went, whoa. It was all written in governmentese. If you've ever read that kind of language, it's very hard to decipher. So I pored over these books that night. And finally, about midnight, I went in, woke up Marvin. I was crying. I said, I can't do this. I can't do this. I don't even understand it. And so he was, you know, sleepy. And he said, he woke up for a minute. He said, just take a notepad. Whatever they want to know the answer to that you don't know, write down the question, call on your break and ask somebody. That's all you have to do. You don't have to know all the answers. I thought, wow, that was a genius answer. It was right there available. And I did, and it worked. Because by the time I got ready to leave, we had a summer vacation, they had already offered me the position of supervising the whole of Denver, Colorado. So your enthusiasm just lifts you up into the next position. So do your very best, whatever it is. If you're making minimum wage and you're walking the streets writing down house numbers, be the very best house number writer that you can be. And the universe sees that. You will be recognized, you will be lifted out. But if you're trying to slip by and do as little work as you can, the promotions and advancements are going to slip by you too. They're not going to find you because you're slipping away from the work. So remember that what you put into it is what you're going to get back from it. A lot of people will say things like, well, I'm better than this. I'm better than this job. Well, I'm sorry, but you can only have what you can match at the level of consciousness. And if you don't match it, it can't be yours. That's a misunderstanding of the truth, because in truth, you are worthy of all. You're worthy of all good, but you have to be a matching consciousness for it in order to experience it in your life. Do you get it? You are in truth worthy of all good, but you have to be a match in your consciousness for it in order to achieve it in your experience. So that's the work that's all about us. That's what we do to make that happen. So whatever you do, do your very best, because that is your divine assignment at each moment. So there are some things that you can do, and one is do the best work that you can with what is in front of you. So whatever it is, do your very best. The second thing you have to do is learn to see God at work. Whatever is happening, see God is at work here. God is working here. God is making this happen. God is doing what is needed here. So see God in yourself as what you're bringing to the job, God in other people as what they're bringing to the job, and that the work is all flowing in divine order. You can be the peace that you want to see in that job. Instead of saying, oh, this is a mess, this is chaotic, nobody is helping here, nobody's doing their part, you be the peace. You be the order. You be the divine harmony of that situation. You be God in action in that job. That's what you bring to that. And the third thing is to remember that you're not working for anybody else. You're only working for God. You're only working for God. That company may manage your time, but you work for God. And if you do your very best, I promise you, God will promote you. I promise you that. God does not overlook you. God does not forget you. And when you're ready, you will be lifted up. And that's what's so powerful, is when you're lifted into the next job, rather than struggling and fighting and scrapping and trying to get promoted, do your very best and let yourself be lifted into the next position. That's the way it works. When we start to know God as what we're looking for, there's a shift in consciousness, and spirit does the rest. So it's not about the heavy working of life. It's about the sweet, sweet working of spirit, letting yourself be lifted and carried by spirit to the next position. So if life seems heavy or hard, remember that it's all about you. It all begins with you. And let Spirit do the sweet, sweet lifting in your life. This teaching has the potential to change the way the world works. Literally, change the way the world works from struggle into freedom. And yet we cannot give away something that we don't have. So we have to start with ourselves. And it really is all about us. So happy Labor Day to you all. And I have an affirmation for you that says, there's no absence of God or spiritual qualities. As I recognize divine love, order, harmony, and peace as omnipresent spiritual realities, they serve as a healing balm on my world. Let's read that together. There is no absence of God or spiritual qualities. As I recognize divine love, order, harmony, and peace as the omnipresent spiritual realities, they serve as a healing balm on my world. And so it is. Thank you. Okay. Let's go with it.